I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary Kay Cabot was on our show saying, look, if there's a chance, he could still be in the mix for next season. Jeff and I have talked about this to a huge extent over the last, I don't know, since he got injured. When he was injured the first time after the game,
we kind of assumed that he would be able to return this year.
Yeah, this was the position that I thought he would be in. And then he got hurt the second time.
And you kind of thought,
It's got to be over. It felt like it was over. Then, you know, we took a swing and missed from the owner.
Big swing. Yeah. Andy. You took a big swing.
He did. It wasn't a check swing.
Swing and a miss.
Nobody looked at the first
Didn't
or third
appeal
base umpire.
To the umpire.
No, not at all. And so at that point, I was like, maybe money doesn't talk here anymore and that there's a 90-some percent chance we don't see him again. I still believe that we're in the 90s on that, but if for some reason he is able to recover, there's just too much money on the line. I did hear a very well-thought-out theory from one of the guys on the morning show. That would be Anthony Lima. And he said that the Browns maybe just putting on a show because they have to.
Well, they're not going to trade him.
Well, maybe insurance purposes. Maybe they just want to play this politically correct and just say, yes, obviously there's an opportunity. The NFLPA probably has, you know, wants to protect him too, to make sure that he's got the ability to walk in and out of the building without feeling like, hey, nobody wants you here. And that, and you also have to believe that after the injuries, that you would want the medical staff to make sure that they're looking at him, if for nothing less for insurance purposes, to make sure that all those things are there. So I thought that was a really well thought out understanding of maybe what was going on. But then Albert Breer, Jeff, yesterday on the afternoon show.
With our guys, Nick and Jonathan?
Yeah, with our guys, Nick and Jonathan, said this.
I think there's a possibility that he comes back and he's cleared in time to play a good chunk of the 2025 season. And I think he knows what's on the line too. So it'll be interesting to see if he's got a different Deshaun, because they absolutely have done a completely different approach in how they built the quarterback room. And maybe you get a different Deshaun than, you know, versus like a year ago where you were sort of building the room to support him. You're not doing that at all anymore. And maybe he takes that as a challenge, and maybe we see a different version of Deshaun whenever he's cleared.
Thoughts.
Last year, they clearly catered to him, and they probably should have. Andy, you were trying to put him in the best situation to succeed.
They jumped out of a plane without a parachute, though, by doing it.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the guy just got hurt. What are you going to say? He got hurt. That's all he did. And once he got hurt, you had to move on to plan B, which was Jameis. And, you know, you brought in different offensive coordinator, you know, you brought in Ken Dorsey and all that stuff. And anyhow, it just didn't work. So now what has to happen? If there's no question, if the guy actually returns to health, that he's in this equation. And the reason he's in the equation is because he's under contract for two more years. They owe him a boatload of money. And at one point in his career, he played better football than anybody else this team has at quarterback. He just hasn't done it here.
$92 million. 46 due at the end of this season. 46 due at the end of next season. That's the remaining amount on his fully guaranteed $230 million contract. I'm sorry, and I said this right out of the gate, that if that much money is hanging over ownership's head, that if there's an opportunity to put him on the field, they will.
I don't know. I'll disagree with that. I'll disagree with that for this reason. The owner already said it was a big swing and a miss.
So what?
So, but here's the thing. If they could move on from him, without huge financial ramifications, they would. But I don't think they can. So I think this could be the case. If he's ready to go, let's say in November, and somebody else has played quarterback and has done a decent job of it, Deshaun joins the group and he's a backup. And he might be in uniform. You're not going to take a guy who's doing a good job, because Deshaun hasn't done a good job here at quarterback. See, that's the catch. It's not like he's played well. He hasn't played well here. He's played okay at times, but lack of 300-yard passing games, 500 record, basically. He doesn't get the ball down the field. His shoulder might be spaghetti. Maybe if he heals up and everything is better and he's healthier, maybe he'll play better. But I honestly think, Andy, if it's Dillon Gabriel, if it's Kenny Pickett, if it's Shedeur Sanders, if it's Flacco, and they're playing and they're doing okay and the team's doing okay, why would you change that? Because you have to pay him regardless.
Right.
You don't have to play him.
No, he'd be the guy who'd be inactive every Sunday,
I would think. Or you could put him on the practice squad.
I don't know if you can do that.
Without his permission. Maybe.
Well, no one's picking up his contract. Well, There's no way anyone's going to do that. So
it'd be real safe to put him there because nobody's going to take him. But as a veteran, I don't think, and I'm not rock solid on the rule, I don't think you can put him there without his permission.
I also, but Dan, maybe you do.
Then again, on payday, he's still the same guy.
Yeah, if you know this, I'll be really impressed. Are there ramifications to putting a player with that kind of a fully guaranteed contract on the practice squad? And if you don't know, I totally respect you for not knowing. I respect you, Dan,
for not knowing things.
Well, I don't know who knows this stuff. I mean, you're probably a lawyer inside the building.
I think it means like I go outside or something like that. I think that's what he means it by.
Yeah.
That must be it.
Do you think, I don't know if there's ramifications if they try to push him through, because would you have to release him to put him on the practice squad?
You'd have to clear waivers.
Sometimes I get baseball and football confused on some of these rules.
I don't think they can release him, Andy, because he's got guaranteed money.
Well, they could. There would just be a penalty.
And there would be huge financial ramifications if they tried to release the guy.
Right, which is why they're going to wait until after June 1 next year. They'll list him as a post-June 1 designation and then release him.
Can I throw this one at you, though?
Sure.
Both of you guys. Do you have any inkling that if he's healthy, that he could return to being the type of quarterback he was in Houston? It's been so far gone, I have a hard time thinking that.
To 75% of what he was? To 90% of what he was? To 100% of what he is?
To being the guy that he was in Houston.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy in Houston's gone.
I think he's gone.
That's what I think, too.
Well, I definitely think he's gone here. He's gone here. He would need a fresh start somewhere else. Let's face it. It's been a nightmare for not only the front office. It's been a nightmare for him, too.
He has a track record of games played here that show that he's not the same guy. And I wonder if he's been so messed up, first of all, through everything he went through that he brought on himself and all the lawsuits and everything else. Whatever all that was, still might be, who knows. Obviously, he had to deal with that. And then he got hurt. And then he got hurt again. And I am hard-pressed to think that the guy he was in Houston can ever appear here.
We have 4 years of Deshaun Watson being a top-10 quarterback in the league in Houston.
He was really good.
We are now at 4 years of Deshaun Watson being either ineligible or personally not playing due to contract negotiations or whatever else.
Not being real good.
Mixed with injury and poor play.
Yeah.
We are 5 years removed from the last time that Deshaun Watson was one of the 5 best quarterbacks in football.
Yeah.
That doesn't come back.
You know, I agree. I think, and that Andy, to me, is why even if he's healthy, he gets over this Achilles and he's able to come back.
Yeah.
Please. Have one of these other 4 guys be better. That, I mean, seriously.
But if he is healthy and if he is able to play, I want you to knock 2 names out of the four that are ahead of him right now.
Flacco and Sanders. But I don't think he's going to be healthy, Andy.
I can't see Sanders getting knocked out.
How was Aaron Rodgers' first year back from his Achilles?
Still looking for a
team. Didn't move very well.
No.
Same with
Kirk Cousins.
But he was also, to give full context, those guys are 10 years older than where Deshaun Watson is now.
Yeah, except for one thing. Deshaun is aged like, you know, quarterback years.
Those guys were
every year, an injured, mentally beat up quarterback is like 7 years. Or is that a canine?
I was going to say you're working off dog years right now, but
Dan, knock two of the four out to allow him to be one of three quarterbacks throughout the season.
Why do I have to knock out two?
Yeah,
because
you're going to knock out one.
You are going to have to knock out one by the start of the regular season. You're not carrying four quarterbacks.
You might, Andy.
You're not.
That's what practice squads are for.
You've got to get them to the practice squad.
Well, maybe you can.
Do you think Gabriel or Sanders is going to make it to the practice squad?
Every team passed over each one of those guys multiple times.
Yes. I mean, they'll get picked up immediately.
Both.
I believe both would get picked up.
I believe both would get picked up.
I think you have less of a chance of being picked up immediately, but I think you'd pick both up immediately.
I would think that is the case, except for one thing. Everybody passed them over multiple times.
It's a different story when the board is shorter.
I get that.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, you're only going after one, and you're looking at your own practice squad and going, okay, I got a bunch of undrafted guys on here. This guy can go. Let's bring this guy in.
And it doesn't.
The perfect scenario is that the three young guys show some real upside, and you move on from Flacco. You trade him.
Okay, so I've knocked one out just to start the regular season. Now, somebody's probably going to have plantar fasciitis and end up on the IR to start the season, one of those four.
It's funny how that... It's an opportunistic injury.
It is.
It's just weird. That was a joke.
One of them is going to have a hangnail and find themselves in a position where they're going to be on the injured list.
Hey, seriously, isn't the ultimate idea, the best possible scenario, is this?
Tell me on the other side of the mic. Right. Hold that. Give me the best possible scenario. Also, that's not all that Albert Breer had to say.
Oh.
What else? We'll play it for you next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff had an answer to some of the things we were talking about with Albert Breer's statement on Deshaun Watson. Breer had more to say. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to hear what Jeff had to say. Nick Shooks joining us at high noon from the NFL Network. Chris Rose at 12:40, but a little bit of news from the owners' meetings. Dan, we go back to the 2.5-hour newsroom. What do you got?
NFL owners have approved a change to the onside kick rule, gentlemen. So the change will be... teams will be able to declare an onside kick anytime while trailing, as well as now they will be able to line up 1 yard closer. So before it used to be just in the fourth quarter you could declare an onside kick. Now anytime you are trailing, you do declare that you can have an onside kick.
I do declare.
Taking an onside kick.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the stupidest thing ever?
I do declare.
I do declare.
We would like to surprise you with an onside kick. Here it comes.
The goal of this, apparently 6% of onside kicks were recovered by the kicking team last year. So the goal is to increase that success rate.
Yeah, you want to know how to increase it? Don't tell them.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to declare for it. Well, no, you have to declare because it's set up different. That's why you have to do it.
Exactly right.
But in contrast, the rule was it was only allowed in the fourth quarter, and a team had to be trailing, and the ball had to travel at least 10 yards before the kicking team can touch it, which has always been the same there.
I understand having to declare because of the way that the new kick and everybody downfield. Do you like the whole thing, or would you rather go back to what it was? It's about player safety here. That's what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It appears that they achieved that last year, that it was better.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand it. But that's a key aspect of the game that just really doesn't exist very much anymore.
Also, does the ball still have to go 10 yards? Does that make sense?
I would think it has to go
9.
My guess.
I would think it has to go 10. Unless the kicker has moved up as well. If the kicker has moved up a yard, then I would think he only has to go 9.
It was 10 yards separating the two teams, correct? I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the new rule is 9 yards.
Well, the ball has to go 10 yards. So I do believe that the teams were lined up 10 yards apart, right?
I've always believed that to be 10 yards, and that's why we've always said it had to go 10 yards. Yeah. I also, why couldn't you do an onside? Because you can't move until the ball is kicked. Why couldn't you do an onside kick in the other formation?
Because there's nobody between all of the players and the kicker. Kicker.
Oh yeah,
kicker
you're right.
Kick it 15 yards and go fall on it.
I don't know how else you could do that unless the kicker. You'd have to move the kicker up. You couldn't do it.
Multiple coin tosses. That's the answer. Hey, we'd like to do an onside kick. Call it heads or tails.
Why don't they just?
Oh, you won.
You know what they could do? They could bring a roulette wheel out to the 50-yard line, and have like
red or black.
Well, no, it would be the like
odd or even.
Yeah, no, not even that. It would be green or red, and you would, all but two spaces, like the double zeros. Though they would be
okay.
They would be red, and all the other ones would be black. And if it landed in one of the reds, and the other team got the ball,
come to the dark side, gentlemen. Come to the dark side.
Yeah.
Here's how much
to the dark side.
I hate the kickoff talk. Can we go back to talking Browns quarterback?
Just come to the dark side, guys. It's
and
a
that
lot
is,
easier.
And that is?
Come to the dark side.
How much closer are we to, I'm just, this is the last point on this. How much closer do you think we are to not even having kickoffs at all?
That, my friend, is the dark side.
Yeah, that's really
come
the dark
to the dark side. It's a lot. Just get rid of the stupid kickoff. We're working way too hard for something that you typically fast forward through or are in the bathroom for. Like, just stop. You're trying so hard to keep something alive that is dead. Just get rid of it. Kick it off in the beginning of the game. Have the other team kick it off at halftime, and that's the end of it.
If everything wasn't...
Wait, it's just honorary at this point.
NBA got rid of the jump ball. They jumped the ball at the beginning of the game.
Well, then it's not really dead.
But that's exactly what Dan just said.
Just
kick it off at the beginning of the game and then just alternate.
Yep. Just come to the dark side. Stick the ball at the 25 and let's go.
With a regular kickoff.
Nothing more fun than watching NBA referees throw the ball up crooked.
Stick the ball at the 25 and
why
let's go.
Why don't they just have a machine that can do that?
That they can wheel off real quick. Guys would trip over it on their way back down the floor.
How about this? It falls out of the scoreboard.
Move along, please. Can we talk about Brown's quarterback?
Don't you like that idea, Dan? Let the ball drop from the scoreboard in the middle of the ceiling, and then you
make
know
it
it's
a scrum.
Fair. Yeah, make it. It's fair. I think when no one
will get hurt as a ball is dropping and a bunch of guys are shoving each other and body slamming each other and taking each other out.
The XFL when Vince McMahon did it, they had like a free-for-all scrum after the ball, right? They put the ball down and guys had to, I forget if it was two guys or if it was a team, had to run after it and beat the you-know-what out of each other to try and get the ball.
That's a great
idea.
And
it was screaming for injuries.
Oh, I still think it's fun. And when the kickoff is right.
Says the guy who's not going to get hurt.
Well, that's true. I'm just a fan. I'm just watching from the outside. What else did Albert, or no, go back to your point before we get to Albert Burr. Do you remember what your point was going to break?
Yeah. You said something about, you know, if Watson comes back and you're going to have to get rid of quarterbacks and all. I don't mean this as a slap at Joe Flacco. Best case scenario for the Browns is that Dillon Gabriel goes into camp and looks great and plays great. Shedeur Sanders does the same, and so does Kenny Pickett. And there are your three quarterbacks, and you get rid of the 40-year-old guy who obviously is not anything, has nothing to do with your future, could possibly have something to do with your present, but nothing to do with your future. And then you have three guys who could be your quarterback moving forward. And then you figure out how Deshaun Watson fits.
So your worst case scenario is that Joe Flacco is extremely successful in the beginning of the season?
It's not a worst case scenario, but if I truly think if Flacco's your starter, something went really wrong. And that it's not about Joe. It's about everybody else. I mean, you've got young guys here. What's this team need? It needs a quarterback long term. That's not Joe.
It makes me ponder the question, are you playing to win this season? And that also doesn't help.
You can't tell 60 guys not to.
I 100% agree with that. There's no way. Do you think Myles Garrett wants to go out there and lose? No. We've already seen the tantrum in the offseason about this, about trade me. I still wonder. I wonder when they drafted Mason Graham what they had said to Myles Garrett and if that fulfilled what he was when they were trying to get Miles to come back. What did they say? All right, Albert Breer had another thing to say.
Here's what you will be taking to the bank.
All right, what else did Albert have to say?
You know, I do know this. When you put four quarterbacks in that room, when you draft two in the first five rounds, you're throwing every dart you possibly can to try to get it right. If all of a sudden that Deshaun that you traded for, that Deshaun that played 2020 at the level he did, 2019 at the level that he did, if all of a sudden there's a glimpse that he could be back, well, it would be foolish not to at least consider it based on everything that the Browns have already gone through, all the money they've already spent, and the position all of those guys are in. So I think you kind of have to approach it now, like if you're the Browns, like this is like a no-lose situation. Like we already have sort of chalked this up as a sunk cost and one of the biggest sunk costs in NFL history. So if somehow this turns itself around, it'd be silly not to at least consider that.
He's right. But the key, you know, the key is if it turns around. What have we seen that would make you think that, yeah, it should turn around? What have we seen?
Nothing. We haven't seen anything. And now he's sitting on two injuries that make, or the same injury twice, that makes you think that there's nothing to bank on here.
Right.
That there's nowhere to go with this thing.
Right. And there's no guarantee that he's going to recover completely from the Achilles. I hope he does for his sake. And I don't know if it would make it more prone to injury that he's torn it twice. I don't know. All I know is that he's not been anywhere near the quarterback that he used to be since he's been with the Browns. And that's obvious.
The question, the other sidebar to this thing is there anybody that wants, like, one, does he even want to play here anymore? And two,
doesn't matter.
Do fans want him to play here anymore?
Doesn't matter.
And three, does the front office want him to play here anymore?
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
How they got to pay him. They can't get rid of him.
So if I'm paying him, I probably want a little return on my investment.
If he can
Don't
play.
You? If I he mean, can play.
They've already, Albert Breer just said what we've said all along. They've already written him off. If he actually can come back and play, well, then you got a bonus. Because they've already written him off, there's going to be no need to put him on the field. Unless he looks phenomenal and everybody else doesn't. I mean, good Lord, when his contract's up, you don't want to pay him again, do you?
No, I think you're looking at that, what, June 1st designation for next year. That's what they're trying to get to. That's the goal here, is to get to that June 1st designation. The only thing that makes the water muddy is if he's healthy and can play, and like Albert said, can return to the place where you said. There's no one here thinks that that's going to happen.
No, we don't.
Again, though, is there anybody in town that's like,
until he doesn't, Andy, you have to think that there is an outside possibility.
Dan, do you think there's anybody that wants him to play?
Yes.
Okay, who?
I think there are still people amongst the fan base who would want to see Deshaun Watson play. I think there are people that if Deshaun Watson won, would love to see him play.
We don't care who it is, exactly. As long as they play good football and they win football games.
It feels like the path of least resistance for the next 2 years would be if he were to walk back in and look like the guy that you handed the fully guaranteed contract
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely, Dan. And guess what? When he's healthy and good to go, if he's clearly the best-looking quarterback out of the bunch, we'll play him.
Exactly. The problem is I don't think that guy exists anymore.
I don't either. But it's a real... Seriously, it's a real simple situation. It's simple. You already have a four-guy competition. At some point, if it becomes a five-guy competition or somebody else gets cut and it becomes four again with Deshaun and he's the best guy, put him on the field. I don't care. You don't care.
What we care about is having a quarterback that this team can have in place for the next 3 or 4 years.
That's probably not Deshaun Watson. He's going to be in place for 2 years. But here's the catch. If you're another NFL team and he becomes a free agent, and let's say he's been okay here, you going to sign him for what quarterbacks are getting paid these days?
No, you're trying to get out of this year that maybe you could trade him in the offseason, right? And I don't know what you would get, but you would have a team that would want to pick up that last year of the contract, which is a lot easier to swallow than anything else.
If he is the Deshaun Watson of old, yes. If he is anything less than the Deshaun Watson of old, they are going to look at the Browns and say, you eat that contract, we'll talk from here.
Yeah, because you're the reason that we're paying every quarterback $50 million.
I don't want to trade for $80 million when I could sign it for 10 or where I could sign it for 5.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the stadium when we come back. That's something we enjoy talking about.
Oh, do we ever?
Well, the mayor said something to Fox 8 yesterday that Daryl Ryder has been writing about probably for a year. Probably for about a year. The mayor said some stuff yesterday I thought made complete sense. And there's it seems to be that, I don't know if there's the white flag has gone up on this thing, and now we're all kind of saying, okay, it looks like it's going to happen. The dome is going to be a done deal. And you tell me what you read out of what, or what you thought about what the mayor said yesterday, because it's kind of been there for months, but maybe because it was on Fox 8, people are listening. I don't know. Daryl's been saying it for months. 216-474-0092.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.